Hello and welcome to all our listeners on Talking AWS for Data Science. So every one of us are interested in our future to understand what goes well, what doesn't go well. And that is what we are going to talk about in today's episode. Let us talk about AWS forecast, which will help you to understand your future forecast, be it in any domain.
Thank you very much, Deepthi. So forecasting has been the main biggest power of machine learning ever since the beginning. And if you actually talk about demand forecasting, it's been a science in statistics on its own. Even before the advent of machine learning, statisticians have been using multiple different statistics methods in order to do a forecast of population, do a forecast of sales in a certain company, do a forecast of the economical situation maybe. So compared to statistical methods, machine learning has always shown promising results with respect to forecasting. And I'm sure a lot of Indian companies also use forecasting methods. So can you give some examples, Deepthi, that you can think of companies who do demand forecasting?
Yeah, sure. So to give you a generalized example, I think every supermarket needs a demand forecasting, especially for their products which do not have a long shelf life. Like for example, if you talk about fruits, vegetables, milk or dairy products for that matter. So they need a accurate kind of a forecasting so that they understand how much to procure or how much to actually store in their inventory so that they meet the demand. And this demand can be fluctuating, right? It might be seasonal, it might depend on the location of your supermarket, it might depend on various other categories, like sometimes it might depend on the weather also. So these are the many features which ideally a model should take into account and then start forecasting it.
Yeah, so supermarkets is a good example. Similarly, you'd also have like right now you have so much of food delivery or any kind of delivery apps popular in India these days. So even for those apps to function very well, we need to be able to forecast what will be the number of orders but for a particular geospatial location. So based on the forecast, they could actually direct a cab or maybe a delivery boy to be available at that particular geographical location. So that way, forecast is something which I would imagine that any company would have a use case for. Like if I'm a project manager, I might want to forecast the demand of resources that I'm going to have in the upcoming months. So similarly, if there is somebody else, then they might want to forecast the price of a certain raw material based on the time series data. So if we generally talk about forecasting without the usage of AWS, let's say, how do you approach a forecast problem and what do you think are the main challenges of forecasting on a normal machine learning approach?
So let's just take a step backward and see how people started forecasting. And then you mentioned about time series also. Basically, when you're talking about time series, it is like you have data which is spread over monthly data, hourly data, or sometimes today with the given IoTs all around us, we have even seconds data. So all this data, wherever you have a time series data, that is where you could go ahead and forecast. So ideally, how did all this forecasting start? They just maybe saw the trend at how it was going. They plotted a trend line and then they said, okay, because now the trend is going up, maybe the demand could go up. And then they took a step forward to see, hey, look, there are some seasonality issues, like say in a peak season, like maybe in a festive season during Christmas or something, the sales are going up. So they introduced this term of seasonality inside it. And then they started analyzing or forecasting based on seasonality also. So they had a combination of trend seasonality together. And then ultimately, what happened is they started looking at the averages. That is how this moving averages has come up, method or technique of moving averages has come up. Then ultimately people said, no, let us go and start fitting a regression curve. So there was a method where people started using regression curves in order to forecast their demand. But again, you have these combinations where they have integrated approaches of regression and also moving averages, like your statistical methods like ARIMA, SARIMA and things like that. But what happens over here, if you take a look at this, all those are unidimensional. You have your number of sales and then you have your date data, and then you can predict your future based on any of these statistical methods which I have discussed just now. But just imagine, because your sales or your demand is not unidimensional. It is based on many dimensions. Like, for example, if I go back to my supermarket example, there is an influence of location, there is an influence of weather, there are many other influences, right? There is an influence of the population density in that particular area, and many other things. So how do I get all these features into it? And that is where deep learning comes in. And that is where AWS has come up with their service of DeepAR, which is what they are using in this AWS Forecast service.
Yeah, I mean, well said. That those are the practical problems of implementing a time series forecasting, because see, you would always need a set of data scientists to be able to do that. And forecasting is a strange problem because you're not done with one model. Like, you do a forecasting for a year, doesn't mean that it stops there, because the next 2 months you'll need to update your model, and which means that there's a continuous investment on data scientists for you to do that. So that's where I think Amazon simplifies the process, because who else than Amazon in terms of predicting the forecasting of the demand, right? Because they've been selling books more than 2 decades now, and they've got the most advanced demand forecasting algorithms, because even before the advent of machine learning, Amazon spent a lot of time in developing a lot of statistical models in order to forecast the demand. So right now, since last 10 years, Amazon have been using machine learning methods in order to do forecasting, and they have mastered the algorithm. And now Amazon is offering all that expertise as a service. So you could opt for the Amazon Forecast service, which is completely serverless, and it's also made simple, such that be it you if you are a data scientist or not, you would still be able to use the service. So let's talk a bit about the Amazon Forecast service. So what kind of input data does it take? I mean, let's talk about it. Let's say you are not a data scientist, you are a simple user. So how can you start making use of Amazon Forecast, and what main advantages do you foresee?
So as usual, Amazon always tries to make it seamless, be it for data scientists who are very well experienced, or naive data scientists who are just entering, or even without a person who is having zero knowledge about data science. These kind of services actually come very handy to everyone. So how does this forecast work? So basically, it is, you need to ingest data as you do in every other service. And what kind of data you ingest? Because you are talking about forecast, you want to see your future demand. It is obviously your historical data, which goes as a major input. So other than your historical data, there can be some other kind of metadata. When I say metadata, maybe sometimes, data regarding your product. Maybe data regarding the categories of your product, some metadata which is very customized to your own use case. This kind of metadata can also be fed into Amazon Forecast. So once all this data is fed into Amazon Forecast, what it does is it actually creates a customized forecasting model for you based on your use case. So why do I emphasize based on your use case? Sometimes you might have products which are not influenced by weather at all. So in that case, you don't have to input your weather data, right? Or even if you ingest your weather data, Amazon Forecast by itself understands that this has no influence and maybe it is not using that feature. So that is where I'm saying customized forecasting model based on your use case is created. And once this forecasting model is created, how do I use it? So Amazon Forecast actually actually gives you an option of visualizing this on your console. Basically, it gives you different kinds of graphs, or it also provides you a CSV file which is in a downloadable format.
Yeah, that's right. I think so you could use that using a console approach, or you could use the direct APIs for the Amazon Forecast. And they offered, I think, close to 100,000 runs in the first free trial. So, which means if you really want to experiment, then I think this is a very good playground for you in order to see the forecast. So, and they also have some kind of a custom templates for different kinds of domains. For example, if you are either in the retail domain, wanted to do a demand forecast for one of your products, including the metadata like the price of the product, the category of the product, maybe the color of the product. So you could give in all of that, and then you could generate some prediction based on the metadata. Similarly, they also have templates for the inventory forecast, which means you could, if you are a warehouse wanting to forecast the number of items which you require to keep in stock, so they have a special category with defined metadata based on which you can forecast your inventory. Similarly, with respect to the EC2 capacity that you are using, if you are an Amazon developer and wanted to work on EC2 machines, so they have a forecasting template for EC2 capacity, web traffic, different kind of metrics, and as well as some kind of a custom template for any of your custom forecasting methods. So let's talk about the algorithms, right? So what all algorithms do you think we could choose for in the forecasting, Deepthi?
So as we were discussing that from the history part of forecasting, we had n number of options to choose to understand our data and forecast the future. Also, obviously, AWS service, this forecast service, also gives us a few options. Like you could choose the basic statistical method like ARIMA for your forecast, or if your data has multi dimensions, then you could go for your CNN or maybe a deep AR plus. I think deep AR plus and things like that start using your LSTMs and all at the back end to analyze your data. This is especially for data scientists who understand these LSTM models or the deep neural network models. And other than that, you also have libraries, general libraries, what you use in Python like Prophet, that also can be used in AWS Forecast. And the best part of this forecast is it just doesn't give you one forecast. It gives you a range or quartile range where it gives the power for the end user to decide. So there could be a range of between 30%, 90% or whatever the end user asks for. And the end user has this power of choosing the forecast metric as per his usage or as per his use case. Let me just put it across. Like if I'm using my forecast for this low shelf life products, then I will go and choose my forecast which has 90% probability so that I don't go and waste my inventory, right? But if on the other hand, if I'm choosing the forecast for some material which can stay for say a year or so, then I would go and choose the demand forecast which has even 30% probability, because maybe I don't want to lose my business even for that 30%. Right. So this is a major advantage. And one more advantage I think, Kali, it offers is what if analysis. Can you just emphasize on this?
Yeah, I really like the what if analysis, because let's talk to a sales team who are wanting to use a forecast service, right? It is not simply important that you tell them that this product is going to sell so much in the next 1 month. But if they wanted to experiment and then say, hey, what if I put in a discount of 10%? What will be the prediction for the sales for next month? And what if I offer a price reduction? So what if analysis is a great feature on Amazon Forecast, because it can give you multiple ways you could explore your data and then still work with the algorithms. So another feature that I could think of is the ability to merge your weather or holiday data. So typically, if you're working with your own open source forecasting models, then you will need to take the pain of downloading your weather data or else the forecast the holiday data, and then you need to write code in order to merge them. But the advantage of doing that on Amazon Forecast is directly you'll be able to merge your holiday data or weather data, and combine that with your existing demand or sales data and be able to forecast for the given months. So maybe we'll kind of summarize the whole thing and then end it with how do you retrain a model. So do you see an option, Deepthi, on how could we retrain and what is the need to retrain a model?
Definitely. So let me start answering from your second question. What is the need to retrain a model? Yes, because first I create my model with 1 year data and then I start predicting it for 2 months. But ultimately, I can't, rely because there'll be some changes in my predictions and the real data, which has happened in the real use case, right? So I need to actually go back and retrain my model so that the real 2 months data is taken into account. So that is where there is a need to retrain. And AWS again offers you a seamless approach over here also. The moment you ingest new data and say retrain, your old model is still saved and you can retrieve it at any point of time. But again, there is a new model which is available to you for your future focus.
All right, that was the episode, guys. Hope you liked it. So you should really go ahead and then try it on Amazon as to how simple they make the forecasting service to be. So if there is a customer who comes to you in order to forecast the demand for them, don't hesitate to go ahead and then start trying AWS Forecast, because you got the best tools which are working behind the screens, and you could of course tune it to work for the kind of prediction that you're looking at. So that was the episode for this week. We'll talk back again next week. Until then, happy data mining.